Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Bragg, and this is the Veterans Health Forum. Today, in our Transatlantic studio, we have our director and our cooperator into the program, Dr. Koscheck. He is a university professor at University of Maribor in Slovenia. Hi, Marco.
Hi, Florian. Hi, everybody.
How is the weather in downtown Europe?
We had a heat wave. So basically, from Tuesday, I think it's almost all the time during the day, between 30 and 35 degrees Celsius in this case, of course, because I know that you are using Fahrenheit. And it looks that this will stay for next probably 2-3 weeks. And basically, this is also now a little bit of a complex situation for some crops already, you know, because the drought is here, you know. But otherwise, we are looking forward soon to go to some vacation on this time Croatian island where I'm usually going. So basically, I'm looking forward to this.
Very nice. So it's a perfect weather for the mass tourism, right?
Absolutely.
And today's episode would be talking about the cruising as a new form of mass tourism. I would like to introduce the audience to a little bit of a twist in the way how we present it today. We would like to go through four different major questions in regards to cruising. And then we're going to hit, if we have time, and that would be the main point of the discussion today, the most important part of the episode, meaning the balneomedical cruising. So that we hope that in the future, this will be one of the several other episodes talking about using the cruise ships, the smaller cruise ships, for the balneomedical treatments. So I will just introduce the audience to the following questions. Number one, is the cruising, talking about in general, the highest concentration form of mass tourism? We'll talk about it. Number two, we'll be talking about the health and hygiene, which is a very high risk on such cruises. Number three, the critical concentration of non-homogeneous travelers on such a cruise ship, which is a big concern in the matter of epidemic outbreak. Number four, we're going to go to the major impact of such cruises on the host. And that will be actually our part of disagreeing with the mass tourism of cruising. After that, we should have more time. We'll go into the balneomedical cruising. So, Marco, my first question, can we say that cruising today is the highest concentration form of mass tourism?
Most probably, not just, let's say, last years, but I think that last maybe 20 years, this is happening. There is a big competition, and I think that they find the cruise industry found the way to somehow break through. Although we can say that this is not the cheap holidays, you know, this is something where you expect also to pay, but it is attractive. It offers some special products on board, and of course, it is also on the market, I think, successful at the end of the day. Otherwise, these operators would not survive. And I believe, and maybe we can touch this also later after this first couple of words, that cruise industry starts to learn that their image is not very good. And this means especially after COVID. We know that the first example of COVID actually were happening on the cruise, on the boats.
And if we remember,
we know that some ports didn't want to take them to harbor and so forth. So basically, cruise industry starts to deliberately change their image in more, let's say, sustainable, if we call it, of course, this way. And I would later on want to mention a couple of the most fresh, let's say 2025 trends, which are at the moment on the market, if you would somehow allow me. But okay, for the introduction, I think, yes, absolutely. This is one of the examples of the mass tourism, which probably we would not want to somehow support from my perspective.
From our perspective, generally speaking, yes, because now if we are complaining about the concentration for tourists in 3-4 buses traveling around in Europe, this is a drop in a bucket if we compare that with a ship of 5,000-6,000 tourists concentrated on the same ship in a very close room or space, literally living on top of each other for weeks and so forth. I mean, we are going from a bus into a whole city.
Yep.
So of concentration. So yes, I would answer my own question and your question as well. I mean, is it the highest form of mass tourism? Absolutely.
Yes.
It is the highest concentrated form. It's like literally sardines in a can, the can being the ship and the sardines being the passengers or the cruise passengers. So yes, it is definitely the highest form, right? So talking about the second point, hygiene and health on board of such a ship, I believe from the point of view of the concentration again, it is no way possible to secure beyond any compromise the maximum level of hygiene and health condition on board of such a ship.
Well, I would agree. Let's not forget that beside 3,000-5,000 passengers, there is the volume of 1,000 and probably more,
personnel,
staff, personnel,
right?
Basically,
right.
which just adds on that. From my personal experience, again, I did the cruise because I wanted to see, but this was before COVID. How, and I want to experience this. Well, you, especially if you go on the, let's say, a little bit higher level, you have quite, let's say, comfort rooms, let me put it this way, with toilets and etc. But of course, all the things and arrangements are basically squeezed in minimum square meters, which you can get, and in some cases the cabins don't have access to basically no windows in the corridor. So, and I think these are the things where you can expect that some bad things could happen also, you know. But
yeah,
maybe here is also I think is to be recognized that ships are becoming more and more developed in terms of technology. You see, they allow all kinds of comfort and easy access to different services, including robots, barmans, I don't know, entertainment. So all this technology is also coming to the smart ships, which of course are trying to reduce these negative aspects we are talking about.
I understand, and I also understand how preoccupied and how interested the managers and the industry in total is to secure such conditions or to improve such conditions. However, as we know now from the pandemic time, all it takes is one single passenger for a massive outbreak.
Absolutely.
Of any
Absolutely.
Kind of particularly respiratory problems. So in other words, the incubator effect of such a ship is colossal, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
Absolutely.
Traveling the Atlantic, and I used to cross the Atlantic several times a year, which hopefully right now I don't have to do it so more often. But the condition on board of a jumbo jet crossing the Atlantic are not ideal in the matter of hygiene, in the matter of the environment. So now if you go on a ship, you say, well, the room is much more luxurious, much bigger, much so on than on a board of an airplane. That is true. But you have to remember also that the population encapsulated into that ship, on board of that ship, remains the same, and over many days, over many weeks.
Absolutely.
So in other words, what we discovered here in the time of the pandemic, and particularly from the experience of a practicing dentist in Florida, what we really understood is that the air conditioning system, when we are talking about the respiratory infections or epidemic or pandemic or whatever we want to talk about, the air conditioning system is the major component of spreading such things. What people will say, and I talk to technicians, I talk to engineers, I talk to everybody, yes, there are EPA filters, there are all kind of electronic filters, there are all kind of other things. The only thing which we figured out in time that it would secure the system of air conditioning on such concentrated environments will be the utilization of ozone. However, the ozone is a relatively destructive environment or gas, because it does attack insulation on electrical cables, does attack the plastics using in all parts of the installations. So it's corrosive. It's also in particularly in airplanes, and definitely also on ships, could be causing catastrophic failures in the electrical system. So yes, there is a problem, but that would be the only one gas or possibility, natural possibility to purify the air in those super mega air conditioning systems.
Well, absolutely. This is one of the big issues, and you know, well, if we can say, on the other hand, as I said, cruise industry is trying to adopt, is trying to offer, for instance, new, more remote destinations. I would say even destinations such as Arctic, Antarctic, Galapagos Islands. You see, these are also the areas where the number and the volume of visit is limited, and by bringing big volume of people in such environments, it could be also counterproductive. So it sounds appealing on the first side, but then later on, if you start to think about this, well, this is also part of the problem. We are bringing to some destinations which were less populated now, because we know there are standard cruise routes in Europe, in America, or I don't know, Caribbean, and etc. etc. So more or less familiar destinations, and now cruise industry wants to open the new destinations. In some cases, these are too fragile to be visited by such volume. This is another issue which we can say that it is not addressed properly, you know.
Yeah, well, now you're going into my number four here, the impact of such cruising on the host. Absolutely. I mean, if you bring people, I mean, thousands upon thousands of people to a remote destination, where normally the density of population is one inhabitant per square mile or less, of course you're going to have a huge environmental impact.
Absolutely.
But you will have not only environmental impact, but you will affect the native population grossly.
Absolutely. Let me offer you just example of Dubrovnik, for instance. Dubrovnik Old Town, which is the UNESCO site, is at the moment probably with less than 1,000 permanent inhabitants. All others are leaving the time, especially now in summer, because they are offering their flats as Airbnb and other type of accommodation for guests. Now, you can imagine what 3,000, let's say, people from the one vessel creates then in this small town. But you don't have only one vessel. You had in the worst times 5 to 8 vessels at the same time. Imagine 5 times 3,000, 15,000 people are invading this beautiful UNESCO town, and everybody wants to see, because they are paying, you see, they want to go to climb on the wall, they want to go to the restaurant, but that's not possible because the volume on the other hand is not able to accommodate everybody. And at the end of the day, you finish with unsatisfied passengers, and on the other hand, you also finish with the unsatisfied providers, local people, and people who stay like for 14 or 20 days in Dubrovnik and are paying 1,000 euro per night, because hotels are of this kind, you know, and the average spending, I was calculating this with a team of the managers of the top Dubrovnik hotels when I was lecturing there, was that they can only spend passenger from the cruise 25-30 euro per person, because you simply cannot spend, because there is no room, if you understand what I want to say. And this is a big issue, you see, this is the big issue, and I think that this is absolutely not way forward. And okay, Dubrovnik is trying to change, but I'm sure that there are also other destinations. I'm not saying, of course, that everything is just dark. There are also other aspects, positive aspects. In some cases, people are brought by bus in maybe some more rural and remote areas, as I know from the example of Koper, the port here in Slovenia. So they go in hinterland and they enjoy rural people, folk dance, etc., etc. But in principle, we have more, unfortunately, negative stories than the positive ones.
Well, the effect is actually the same, because you are bringing, you are quadrupling, you are 10 times more increasing the population of the native people there. So, in other words, the attrition, it's immense. And even if you say that the attrition is only for like seasonal, for a couple of months a year, still, to recuperate for that attrition, you will have to work and consume a big portion of the money you made to recuperate, to readjust, to be ready for the next season, which could be even more impactful than before. The point is, after the pandemic, after we experience the world pandemic, those kind of concentration of non-homogeneous travelers, in other words, people coming from different parts of the world, concentrated on a ship, being thrown out on land in a different areas, it's probably very, very dangerous.
Well,
because first of all, you as a cruise tourist, you are not obligated at this moment to provide a certificate of health before you go on board of the ship. Right?
No way, you can't.
You cannot impose that. And now with the respiratory disease, we know that there's such a long incubation period of time that by the time you are healthy and you take the test, by the time you board the ship, you're already sick, right? And it hasn't been captured by the test. So in other words, it's good for nothing. The whole idea is, do not concentrate that immense number of population don't put the sardines in such a tight can,
yes,
right? And don't throw the sardine somewhere on land where then the damage is way more than the profit which you're making.
Absolutely. Well, for instance, if you allow me, I can mention a couple of, let's say, trends for this season.
Please.
Just briefly, we don't have time to go on all. But for instance, cruisers are offering digital detox cruising. Basically, mm-hmm. means you are without Wi-Fi or connection to any let's say things which somehow press you in your everyday life.
I like it. What you call it? Electronic detox.
Digital detox cruises.
Love it. It's great. Yeah. Yes.
There is a rise of millennial cruise vacationers. Means younger generation. So younger uh-huh. generation, rather than we know that cruises were normally full of senior people, silver market. You know, basically. So this is. Then, of course, they discovered that the way forward is small ship cruises. I think we will touch this later on. This
yes.
is where then you have right. also, for instance, programs specially designed, for instance, maybe for women-centered trips, basically. They are also offering packages where you can work. Nowadays, people are working remote from home, need to go to office every day. And this is one of the possibilities. So with the special programs, prices, they attract such kind of things. Shorter.
Yeah, but then, excuse me for interrupting, but in that case, you do not benefit for the digital detox.
I know. You see, this is contradictory. It is contradictory, basically. These are two types of the segments, but still. Shorter sailings, you know. Then, of course, also solo cruising. You know that if you want to book the cabin, you should pay for double room. You know, in this case, they are offering special price for solo cruisers. Also, cold weather cruising now if you are you ask me what is the weather here, it is 35 in the all Mediterranean at the moment. Cruising probably is not really the best experience though for those who can't stand the hot water weather. And this also opens a new dimension to destinations which are more environmentally, or if you want, temperature friendly. Also, they are talking about eco-friendly cruise travel, which somehow gives you additional information, thinking about the destination in responsible tourism, and etc. And this basically just gives you the information that once again, cruise industry is understanding that they are the problem and that for the future that they need to change something, which is at the end of the day not bad sign, but still at the moment is, as we stated at the beginning of our discussion today.
Definitely. I mean, if the money is there, if the profit is there, the industry will push. And this is exactly what the problem is. Unless the local population, the local administration of those historic centers or ecologically, you know, dangerous environments, as you mentioned, or sensible environments, like you mentioned, Antarctic, Galapagos, or even the Scandinavian fjords and so forth.
Absolutely.
If they don't push to protect themselves, of course, the money looks good, and the more ships you get, the more money you get. So no doubt, if the money, if the profit supersedes the disastrous environmental or even economical whatever happens out of as a following the impact of the ship industry, if cruise industry, if that supersedes, then not too much good will come out of it.
Absolutely.
So, but let's go now, so that we don't stretch it too long. Let's go now and talk about the opposite of it. So, mm-hmm. so everything what we were seeing right now, what is the negative part of the mass tourism on board of a ship? Let's talk about the ideal environment on board of a ship, a different kind of a ship, in the matter of balneo medicine. And I would just open to say this. You just said something in your presentation before. They are offering smaller ships. Okay. So, in other words, we are all used to see those gigantic, enormous big ships, crossing the Grand Canal in Venice and stuff like that. But now they are also trying to move on more family-oriented little embarkations, little yachts type situation. Now, when we are talking about a balneo medical center on board of a ship, we are more talking about on board of a yacht. In other words, a small boat, let's call it a boat, small ship, it's called a yacht, with a very reduced number of participants or patients or tourists, also a much more reduced number of crews. And now, on top of which, you will have to have also specialized parts of the crews which are providing for the biomedical system or treatments or activity. And this is just diametrically opposed, 180 degrees opposed to the mass tourism on a cruise.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me read this trend, which is here, and I prepared. So, elite cruising actually will take on an added dimension with wellness, as almost all luxury cruise lines, and will begin to launch appropriately designed wellness voyages that integrate both physical and mental healing as the main objective. Such cruises will include programs on fitness, deep sea therapies, mental healing, activities such as private deck yoga classes, nutrition sessions with different star chefs. Other options will include custom fitness plans, wellness vacations complete with the meditation instructor, and quiet cleansing nature walks. Consequently, this travel experience will focus on all-around health improvement and well-being. Thus, wellness will become ingrained in today's cruise holiday offerings. You see, this is absolutely one of the, I would say, products which is having a big future. And if it's happening on the small boat, or let's say where the parties of, I don't know, 50, 100 people maybe maximum, this I think would sell for good. That's
Yes,
my
yes.
opinion.
Yes, it would be ideal because if we go into specific, into medically specific points of discussion, one of the most important ones will be the maritime therapy, will be the fact that you are now on particular respiratory disease. We could follow the example of the past times when from the northern part of Europe, people who are diagnosed with tuberculosis were sent to Sicily, Palermo, or to Corfu in Greece, or Crete, other very south islands in the Mediterranean, to inhale, to breathe, to live in that iodine into the loaded minerals and salt of the Mediterranean Sea under different kind of temperature, free of allergens, free of different contaminations. And it was very well known the positive effect of such a treatment on patients. The possibly, I don't know if our audience will have the knowledge of that, but one of the classical examples, the most classical examples of the late 19th century was the Imperatrice Sissi of Austria diagnosed with tuberculosis went to Corfu just for that, because there was no antibiotic, there was no treatment, but the air, the environment, the entire surrounding of you would benefit substantially to the improvement of the patient. So if we go and put such patients with respiratory problems, with allergies, with asthma, with all kind of immune compromised conditions on board of such a ship for 3-5 weeks, that would be the absolute top of the line treatment in many cases.
Absolutely. Well, I am familiar with this type of holidays from the Croatian Mediterranean small cruise ships, and we have a very good friend of ours who might be in the future also part of this program. We will see, and this is absolutely top on the market in terms of demand for such things. So small cruises rather than big boats. The 3-5 thousand people on board, you see, and I think yes, this absolutely, and it also is interesting, not just in the main season now, July, August, when the heat is there.
Very important point.
But
yes.
April, May, June, yes. Pre, so shoulder season and post
yes.
season, where is the top temperature, top environment, and this is where I believe is lying also the most appealing point, so that you basically go there in time where you can survive in terms of
excellent. And now that we are talking about climate change and blah blah blah. Very hot summers and so on. Now imagine those kind of cruisings. They can be done on Balticum. They can go around the North Sea in summer. They can go into the, as I mentioned before, the Norwegian fjords,
yes.
Right? Because the biomedical activity on board of the ship remains the same. In other
exactly.
words, it doesn't
exactly.
matter where the ship floats.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
If
exactly.
the atmosphere is more inducive for the treatment for your patients, then you will be planning with the geographical location, with the time of the year, with the duration of the ship, with the afflictions of the patients on the ship. And now here comes a very important point. If we would be addressing, and probably in the future, because otherwise we'll be too long right now, but if we were addressing every single point of concern, which we debated before in regards of cruising mass tourism. Now, one of the points will be when we were talking about concentrating a big number of non-homogeneous participants on a big ship. Here, on a small yacht, on a small boat, you can dedicate the next 4-5 weeks of treatment to a well-designed group of participants.
Absolutely.
Because
Absolutely.
Now, if this is a biomedical treatment, you will have the knowledge of the patient's existing medical condition before the patient comes aboard. Because now you're going to go for what kind of clientele, what kind of patients I have now on board for the next 5 weeks. Do I have allergy people? Do I have respiratory people? Do I have gastrointestinal problem patients? Do I have immune afflicted patients? What kind of patients do I have? And if this could be somehow organized based on the number of the patients, based on the number of the specialists in the team, we can have a very homogeneous group of patients.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That homogeneity of the group completely eradicates the cross-contamination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So also simplifies the modality of putting the program together, because you don't have to cater to five completely different afflictions and have to diversify to no end on one person-based treatment. You can have a small group, very small group of participants enrolled into the same program because the affliction is the same. And I
I
am
think
addressing, yeah.
absolutely,
See,
absolutely.
there are huge benefits to bringing a small number of people on a small boat.
Yeah, but basically, the point you made at the end is the most important. This only could happen when you have the small size of the group, and basically you prepare the program for which more or less everybody would go for, you know. So that's the important thing, you know.
The basic thing is you have your program on internet. You have your groups, you dedicate your program for certain major groups of afflictions, and you enroll interested parties into those groups. So you can have a pre-planning of each single one cruise done
Absolutely.
6 months, a year in
Absolutely.
advance.
Absolutely.
Okay, and
Absolutely.
because now we are talking more and more about the one ultimate characteristic of the biomedical core is the repetitiveness of the core, the repeating of the core. In other words, I'm not doing it one single time and I'm done. I'm doing it this year, next year, again and again and again, or even two, three times a year, depending of my involvement into the program. So now, if that's the case, it's much easier to pre-plan such cruises.
Absolutely. And
So,
also it is much easier and more effective marketing because you
yes.
permanently let's say circulate this product on the market. Yes, absolutely. I
Yes.
agree. I
Yeah.
agree.
And then you have, well, it's a matter of how much more this is going to be. I would say this: before the pandemic, I would always think about, well, now this is the cost I must achieve, but everything is too much, you know? So where can we cut here and cut there? After the pandemic, however, I would say for the people who are definitely dedicated to their life, their health, their well-being, there should be no price on their health.
Absolutely, absolutely,
Okay? So
absolutely.
in other words, we are not talking about sending you into the space for $150,000 for a minute or some exaggerated bullshit, I'm sorry, things like that. But if it comes down to how much it will cost a week on such a ship, and it will be double as much as you're traveling in group on a big ship, by all means, if your health is not good enough for that, then don't go. Because there will be a
Absolutely.
lot of other people who will be
Absolutely.
more than happy to pay four times more and be able to come back home and breathe better for 6 months and go back on
Absolutely.
a course and come back and breathe better for another
Yeah.
6 months. That's the point.
I think that there is no price if you really want to have your health improved and in a good condition. I think that's it. At least when you come to the age where problems are starting, you know, so that's absolutely there, you know.
Exactly. And the point which we made not long ago with Professor Resch in our conversations, and the audience, we're going to get Professor Resch also on our podcast. It makes zero sense, the struggle to develop new drugs, new therapies, new procedures, new treatments, which always involve a lot of experience, a lot of money, a lot of time to develop it, and so on. When you come down to say, well, they are all too expensive. If the point is that everything what we are having to offer there in the post-pandemic times it becomes too expensive for Joe Blow and for Mrs. Smith pay no money. That should is indeed extremely depressing for those people who are trying to put the best out there. And the point is that we are actually bringing the entire well-being industry down by trying to spiral down the costs. And the population, we are having this discussion with Carl, Professor Resch, that the population, particularly in Germany, right, it's used to consider that their health belongs in the hands of the Krankenkassen or the insurances, okay? Whatever the insurance doesn't pay, I'm not interested. Wrong answer. Actually, whatever the insurance doesn't pay, I should be more than happy to be interested into because that is not the low level standard of care the insurances are only paying for.
Absolutely. And I think that from the experience, we can say that health budget will pay less and less of things in the future. But basically, it will be your personal responsibility to have a healthy life, and which means that you will save money for such treatments, which will not be necessary in case you. But of course, when you already are in, let's say, bad condition, then this absolutely is the price you pay for good health condition.
From a American point of view, I would have to say this. Those kind of biomedical programs are not cheap, should not be cheap.
Can't be cheap,
Should not
indeed.
be cheap.
Indeed.
If they are priced properly, that you have the maximum of benefit into the everything what can be offered for your health. The company offering them has also to make their share profit into that because otherwise they cannot produce more, they cannot offer the program again, and they cannot advance their program. So therefore, if you have the money out of your own pocket to participate, great, go for it. Don't look at the money and say, well, why spend that money when I can do something else with that money? No. You don't do something else with your money. You put your money in the most precious thing what you have, which is your health and life. If you don't have the money, there are enough charity movements, enough charity mega companies in America who would be happy to help you stay in health and go into those programs because we give money, we throw money away, we burn money by the bucket every second for things we are utterly unimportant. So instead of doing that, maybe our program should generate interest for those charitable organizations to open their eyes, open their pocket, open their hearts, and say, the program costs whatever it costs, but it's super beneficial. So why don't we create funds to send people on, in our case, veterans or non-veterans for that matter, to send people who cannot afford on their programs and help them. So money will always be available.
I agree, and also I think the wise state would offer this kind of support, maybe not 100%, but certainly a big percentage that people can go for such things, you know.
I think after the pandemic, the health became number one priority for every intelligent person. Okay, so and I would go to say that the program or the programs on such yachts, on such super dedicated environments and so on, they will cost what they will have to cost in order to make them available in the future and improve them. The point is that they can bring benefit to people with money, for people without money, without having to prostitute the program down and reduce the costs, because every time you reduce the costs, you do not end up with the same end result. It's impossible.
Absolutely. It's impossible.
Somewhere something has to be chopped off.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if you do that, you do not have the optimal program, the medical, and biomedicine is nothing else but the optimization of your health. And this is the discussion we have all the time with Professor Resch. What is important out there? It's how you as a patient perceive your own health. If you feel well, you are well. It doesn't matter what the pharmaceutical medicine tells you. Well, your values are so and so and so, but based on the medication you have to swallow to have those lab values so okay, so perfect or acceptable, your lifestyle is miserable. So what's the point of it? The question is, you are well if you feel well as a patient. And those cruises, those biomedical cruises, will be absolutely the very top of the line.
Absolutely agree. I think that this type, small-scale cruise, I think absolutely would have future. Speaking from the point of mass versus sustainable, this is absolutely in the direction of sustainable tourism, as we call. So basically, small number of people, interaction, also social dimension. You know each and everybody on the board, rather than when you are with 5,000 people, you can't.
I think we have a little bit of a signal problem right now.
Okay.
We might have to conclude our podcast. I believe either we have a storm coming,
okay,
or
at your end.
Okay, it's on my end. Okay, it's Florida in summer, so obviously it's my end. So all right, very well. So we appreciate everybody's time listening to what we had to say today. We will see you then when you come back from the island Vis for a month, right, Marco? And
exactly.
We will try to get Marin, if he wants to be part of our podcast about biomedical treatments on yachts, because he's the owner of several yachts, I believe, located in Split in Croatia. And I believe also he's located in the south, somewhere on the coast of Spain, Barcelona, and so forth. So we will talk to him and see if we can invite him to come aboard.
I think that's a very good idea, because from his experience, I think we can add more on today's topic.
Okay. Marco, have a wonderful vacation. Thank you, everybody. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Thank
Ciao.
You. See you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ciao. Bye.
Bye. Bye.